Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast at the top of the hour 3 Central Time, it's the live broadcast. We'd love to share it with you. The number 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. Join us. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There's so much going on in the world today, and the question on the table this month is, how do we handle it as believers?
Yeah.
How do we deal with the issues that are coming at us just week after week like waves to the shoreline?
Yeah.
And these aren't just simple issues. These are complex, difficult issues that we face. I mean, here in Texas, we're talking about a bathroom bill, with transgenderism. We're talking about all sorts of things. We've got, threats of terrorism that coming at us all the time. We have the racial issues that happened in Charlottesville. The news is just filled with all kinds of things that can make just anyone panic and just live on the edge of anxiety and fear. But that's not what God has called us to. He hasn't called us to a life of anxiety. He hasn't called us to a life of fear. As a matter of fact, he says, when you do feel anxious, make your requests known to God and allow the peace of God to guard your hearts and minds. Peter tells us to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for us. And that's what we have to get down to. Do we have somebody that actually cares for us, that we can depend upon, lean upon in life's circumstances? And the answer to that is absolutely, yes, we do. Yesterday, we read a passage, 2 Corinthians 5:14, and it says this, "For the love of Christ controls us." Now, that's where the Word of God, this gospel of Jesus, is pushing every single one of us that place where we can say the love of God constrains us, the love of God controls us. We need the love of God to control us in this world today. Otherwise, we're going to give in to the patterns of this world.
Yeah.
What makes us different? What is a holy life? A holy life is a life of love. It's a life that is controlled, constrained, compelled by the love of Jesus Christ. And as that love constrains and compels and controls us, it gives us a completely different perspective. And boy, do we need fresh perspective in this world today. We have sides. And so most of these issues draw a line and says, pick a side. So instead of unifying, these issues divide. Well, we need a different perspective. We need to be able to look down on the circumstances and to see it from God's vantage point, to see it from his position. And Paul tells us that we need to set our minds on things above. We're already seated with him in the heavenlies. So we have a unique view on this life. So as we're constrained by the love of God, it enables us to get a godly perspective. And when we get a godly perspective, we can gain a godly purpose as far as those issues are concerned. We can learn how we should react and we should respond. So this isn't a little thing as far as this verse in the Bible, to be controlled by the love of God. This really is the answer. This is how we're to live as believers in Christ in this world today. We want to glaze over it and say love, love, love. But when we do, we're not really catching the full weight of what God's love is all about and how it really transforms us from the inside out and gives us the ability to inject something into the circumstances of life that's going to be meaningful and impactful, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah. We have this choice. And when you choose Jesus and you're constrained by his love, then you begin to see how things could fit together. But if you choose the world's model, then you are forced, as you said, to make a choice that separates you from people. And if you make enough of those choices, you're all by yourself in a corner. Now what are you going to do? And Jesus says, let's not play that game. Let me show you how to love those people, whoever those people are in your life.
Right.
That's not love, love, love. That's hard work.
That
and
is.
It's only going to get done if Jesus does it through me.
Right. And that's the kind of work that really takes some courage, doesn't
yes.
it? I mean, it is not an easy thing to roll up the sleeves of love and get into action on
yeah.
the behalf of another
uh-huh.
individual. You're inconvenienced. You know, it's not about good old you, but I guarantee you that when you do, when you allow God's Spirit to compel you, the love of God to control you, the reward of that is you just can't even express
yes.
what the reward of that really is, what it does to the soul. It is when you're fully alive, you're most alive as a human being.
Yes, indeed. You know, as I listen to Bob and Richard as they open the broadcast and continue through the calls and questions each day, it occurs to me that there's no better place than Basic Gospel, no more consistent place to hear about the good news of the love and life of the Lord Jesus Christ than right here on Basic Gospel. We're here every weekday to bring that good news to you, both on radio and online. And, of course, we depend upon God working through you, His people, to pray for us and to generously support us financially to keep this good news coming. And we need your consistent partnership, friends. And remember that with your donation in the month of August, we have this wonderful new and very special DVD series called Your Living Hope is our gift to you. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And we're going to send you a copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to California and talk with Tina. Hi, Tina. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. How can we help you?
I have a question. I have a relative that's incarcerated, and he used to listen to your guys' radio station often. And he got moved, and the reception no longer allows him to hear. But he had a question. He asked me if I could call for him, and I told him, of course. His question is, he would like a total understanding or a better understanding of Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 19. He just would like a clear, better understanding and somebody else's outlook on it.
Okay. Well, we can certainly help with that. So Matthew 18, 1 through 19. So there's lots
yeah,
of stuff in there.
Full.
It's not just a simple simple passage. So it's interesting. The question is raised right here at the beginning of it about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the disciples are asking that. So that's the passage that he's referring to. Who's the greatest in the kingdom?
You know, when he first actually do this, he had said chapter 18, verse 15 to 19. But then when he comes back, he asked you to just go ahead from 1 through 19. To be honest, I'm not really exactly sure the spot. I'm assuming that it would have been somewhere in the 15 to 19.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, we will focus on the last part of this passage.
Okay.
Then I think if that's really what he's interested in, but it is interesting to see that the question on the table by the disciples, and really this is a human question,
yes.
isn't it? Who's the greatest?
Mm-hmm.
We have a phrase in sports: who's the GOAT, the greatest of all time? Is it Michael Jordan? Is it LeBron James? Is it Tom Brady? As far as quarterbacks are concerned, you know, it's just our human tendency to try to rank people, uh-huh. performances, things, places. We vacation down in Sarasota, Florida sometimes, and there's a couple of magazines that rank that beach the number one beach in America, and I'm just so proud that I've vacationed there. You know, we just want to know who's the greatest. And certainly that was the question in the minds of the disciples. They had all left everything. They had followed Jesus. Jesus had talked to them about the kingdom of God. They knew they were going to be a part of that kingdom. And so the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is the greatest. There's no debate on that. We all get in by grace through faith in him. And so when we see kingdom pictures in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus in the center and everybody else just flat on their faces,
yes,
worshiping the Lord himself.
Amen.
Saying,
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed to take away our sins forever. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you've given. Thank you, Jesus, for this place that you've given us in your family. So Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom. There's no debate over that. And so he answers and says, you know, the greatest is the one who is least among you. Well, Jesus sacrificed his life. He came not to be served, but to serve. And so that's what he wants to put in us. And it gets right back to what we were saying at the very beginning of the broadcast. We are to be constrained or controlled by the love of God. When we're controlled by the love of God, we're not worrying about who's the greatest. We're simply worried about or captured by the needs of others and how can we make ourselves available to Christ to meet those needs. Now, that is really the premise for the final part of this.
Yeah.
So if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So why would you go to your brother if he's sinned against you? Because it's put a something in the relationship. It's stymied the relationship, and your desire is to be reconciled. Your desire is for that relationship to be strengthened, to be better than it was before. So you go to your brother, and you try to get it straight. So he says, if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence or two or three witnesses. There's some protocol. You don't go blast this to the church. You don't go broadcast this to the world. You don't expose somebody's sin. You let the love of God control you, and love covers a multitude of sins. So that's what this passage is all about. If he refuses to listen, then you tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Somebody who is really in Christ, they're going to respond to the nudging and the word, the encouragement, the admonishment of the word of God and of the Spirit of God being expressed through the people of God. And so that's what he's talking about. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. So what's the purpose of this? It's about bringing restoration, reconciliation, between brothers and sisters in Christ, binding that up and setting people free to experience this love of God. So that's what this passage is all about. It's about serving one another in love.
Right, in love. Okay. Could you explain really quick 18, where I tell you the truth, whatever you want in heaven.
Well, this is an interesting, this is an interesting phrase. Jesus, in his first, in his very first sermon at Nazareth, he picked up the scrolls and he opened it to Isaiah 61 and he read the first several verses from that, and he laid the scroll down, he sat down, and he said, "This passage, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your presence today." Well, what did that prophecy say? That Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted and to set free the captive.
Yeah.
So this binding and loosening is about binding up the brokenhearted. And certainly if there is a relationship that's gone amok, there's broken hearts. So what does the grace of God do in that situation? It binds up the brokenness as a result of sinning against one another. It binds that up, and then it sets free that relationship to grow and flourish in the context of the grace of God. So what's bound up on earth, it's because that's the will of God in heaven.
Yeah.
It's the will of God that we come together and to be reconciled, isn't it? That's already been stated. And if it happens here, it's because it's already been decreed in the heavenlies. It's been decreed in the heavenlies that we are set free. We are set free from those things that like sin and death and all of that,
those
powers. That's been decreed. And so if we pray according to God's will that broken hearts can be mended, those that are in captivity can be set free, then we can expect for God's will to take place in those situations.
Wow, I even got a different look at that now.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it did. Totally, totally. And I thank you for the clarification on it. I took my notes, and I'm ready for his phone call, so I'll be able to let him know that I got through and I was able to get an understanding of it myself, and hopefully I'll be able to relate it to him exactly how I heard it.
Well, you are so welcome, Tina, and thanks for your call. You hold the line, and we'll send you some more information that might be helpful to you in this regard.
Okay? And thank you so much. Thank you so much, and may you all have a blessed rest of the day. Yeah.
Thank you, Tina.
Yes, indeed. You know, sometimes we hear from listeners who don't have a question, but who are just writing or calling to say thanks, and such was the case with Mitzi, who dropped a line to us through our Facebook page. She says, "Your presentation of the gospel set us free to spread the love of the Lord many years ago. Thank you for your faithfulness and service all these years."
We appreciate hearing from Mitzi, and I remember her from many, many years ago, and just how God has used her, you know, built the foundation in her and her husband's life, and how the Lord has used them to reach out and share this good news with many people. I think they've had opportunities to share this within prisons and conferences and that sort of thing. Yeah. So we're very grateful for them and just so grateful to hear from them.
And
those words of encouragement.
Yes. Yeah.
We love hearing from our listeners. We need encouragement.
We
need encouragement, and I can't tell you how wonderful these types of messages are. So if you would like to be in the business of encouraging us, we would greatly appreciate that. You can send your comments to bob@basicgospel.net.
Or drop us a line on Facebook.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And friends, remember that with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive our new video series, Your Living Hope. Bob and Richard, of course, teamed up to produce a series that will help you stand firmly in the grace of God and resist the intense pressures that you face when confronted by the patterns of this world. And to receive your copy of Your Living Hope, just go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can phone your gift to the regular number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Tabitha in Irving, Texas, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Tabitha. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there. How can we help you today?
I just want to let y'all know that me and my husband, we listen to y'all every single day.
Wonderful.
Great.
Excellent. I have a question. Me and my husband, we got married. We're a young couple. I'm 25. He's a year younger than me. We just got married. We can talk about God. You know, he was a Catholic. He was born Catholic, but I was born Christian. We can talk about God. He just turned Christian, though. We can talk about God. But there's still some topics that we don't agree on, and I was wondering if y'all can pray for our marriage and, like, help me. How do I go about talking to him about God? I try to pray and ask God to come into our marriage. And it's just so hard.
Well, Tabitha, that's something that where patience has to come into play there. You said that y'all are just recently married. You've known Christ for a while, and as you said, so as you say, he's just coming to
grips.
He's new.
Yeah.
So patience is going to be a big part of this. And you're just getting to know one another as husband and wife. You're just trying to figure out, you know, who each other really are. And so give that some time. But let me just take a minute or two. You know, Tabitha, you say you've known Christ all of your life. And just give me an opportunity here to kind of share what the gospel really is, what it means to be a Christian. And here's the gospel, Tabitha. The gospel is the story of Jesus. So the Bible is God's testimony about Jesus from beginning to end. He tells the story about his son, how his son was going to come into the world being born of a virgin, and he was going to save his people from their sins. And so Jesus was born into this world. Those who saw him recognized him as the Savior. And then some 30 years later, he showed up on the scene and began his ministry. And that ministry was 3 years that eventually led him to a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And there Jesus died for our sins. And Tabitha, Jesus died for your sins, to take away your sins once and for all. And Jesus died for your husband's sins, to take his sins away once and for all. And so he offered his blood to God the Father, and God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice on your behalf. Then Jesus was buried. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, just as the Word of God prophesied. And 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb alive forever. He was raised from the dead. And he was raised from the dead so that you could be justified, so that you could be made alive in Christ. So when that gospel message hits a human heart, a heart can respond in faith by believing, and that belief is spelled out for us in Romans 10, where Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So there's the grace of the Lord Jesus that was given to us in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Then there's this faith, our response, our lips confessing that Jesus is Lord, our hearts believing that God raised him from the dead. So it's by grace through faith that we are saved. And so when we're saved, we're made alive together with Christ. We cross over from death to life, and then Christ comes to live inside of us. Jesus Christ, in you, your hope of glory. So that's what salvation is. Now, Tabitha, have you understood salvation in those terms, that Christ made you alive? Okay. So that's where you begin in your conversations.
Yeah.
It's all about the story of Jesus, what he's accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that because he is alive, you can say that you're fully alive in him, that he made you alive in Christ Jesus. So that's where I would begin the conversation. And here's what I want to do. I wrote a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I want to put that in your hands. I want the two of you to read that together and let that be the place that conversations about Jesus arise, okay?
Okay.
You hold on and we'll get that to you, Tabitha. And thanks so much for calling.
Yes, indeed.
We sure appreciate it. Okay.
We love hearing from our listeners and friends. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air, you can pose your question by calling 844-322-2742. We would love to play it back in your voice and address it on a near future edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that we're offering, of course, this wonderful DVD series, Your Living Hope, for your donation to Basic Gospel this month. You can donate at basicgospel.net or you can call 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to have a copy. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for a Hard Passages edition tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.